The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Psalms 46. And I want to talk to you a message the Lord gave me quite a number of years ago, but I believe it'll be a great conclusion to the series that we've been doing on the river of God. And the title of the message today is called The River That Flowed from Calvary. Now, how many know that there was a river that flowed from Calvary that still flows today to each and every one of us? And it's a river of blood. Psalm 46 in verse 4, there is a river the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Then go to 1 Peter 1 and verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish or without spot. And then Hebrews 9 and verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he's the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. And then Hebrews 10, 4 to 5. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. How many know under the old covenant, the blood covered sins? That's why you hear about the word atonement, which meant to cover, which a lot of people under the new covenant say my sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. That's actually not correct. That was a term used under the old covenant. Under the new covenant is the word remit, means to utterly wipe away, that there's no trace or record. So if it's wiped away, that means it's not covered anymore. Are you with me? There is no trace or record of it. Aren't you happy? Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifice for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written to me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now, the Bible says that he was marred, that he did not even resemble a man. That's why it really irritates me when I see pictures of Jesus portrayed hanging on the cross. And when you look at it, he's got a little bit of blood on his hands, on his feet, from his side, and maybe from his head. But basically, he looks pretty fine. I mean, apart from the wounds, he looks okay. But the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that he did not even resemble a man. So can you imagine for one moment what he actually looked like? The closest that you could even see would be in the movie The Passion of the Christ, which Mel Gibson did, that actually was the closest, but even then he still resembled a man. The Bible says he did not even resemble a man. You can't even begin to imagine the torture and the pain and the suffering that he went through for you and for me. But one of the things that was evident that took place at Calvary was that the blood flowed. And I want you to know today that the blood is still flowing. And the blood is as fresh today as when it flowed 2,000 years ago. The blood has not got old. The blood is not dried up. The blood is still alive, and one drop of this blood will cleanse the worst sinner and remove every sin, every guilt, and every shame. Can you say amen? So this blood flowed from his head to our heads. You say, why? So that we could have peace of mind. When you look at people in the world, they carry worry, they carry anxiety, they carry woe, they're tormented night and day. That's why people are on drugs and alcohol and smoking everything that they can, pushing everything up their nostrils, trying to get relief from the problems that only the blood of Jesus can bring. When that blood comes onto you, when that blood washes you clean, it transforms you. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So he was tormented, so you don't have to be tormented anymore. That you can actually have peace of mind. Somebody says, what does peace of mind look like? It means that when you just stop thinking about anything, you just like that, just calmly. There's just peace. There's no thoughts of any worry, concern, anxiety, of anything past, present, or to come. Peace of mind. Which you look at a lot of people, they're not like that. They're always anxious. They're always worried about something. What you worried about? Oh, well, they're always concerned about something. But something happens when the blood flows from his head to your head. Something takes place. And the Bible says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on me. That's why it's very hard to see people get a transformation in their life by their head being changed, you know, because we can give people enough information they can make a decision. But let me tell you, you can make a decision, but you still have to deal with your head. But when the blood comes, it washes all that clean. Obviously, we have to renew our minds to the Word of God. But don't take away from the power of the blood of Jesus that comes, the Prince of Peace. Total peace from his head to our heads. So the river of blood of Christ Jesus covers every area of our lives. Every area. He doesn't want you walking around carrying burdens in your mind. He wants you to have peace. You don't have to pop pills to get relief. You don't have to smoke weed. Hello? Look, I know they're making the stuff legal, you know, and people can use it for medicinal purposes, but we have a school of healing here. I'm not into people puffing stuff. Are you with me? I don't care how much they make legal. We're not into people puffing stuff. Somebody said, oh, yeah, you need to ease up on. No, no, because why? When the blood comes, it will cause the very thing that's plaguing you to be removed. We're saying no puffing. People are crazy today. It's like, I can't believe it. You'll be amazed at who is puffing. I mean, pastors that suddenly, you know, because I think Colorado, they legalized weed first. So suddenly people were felt called to go and plant a church in Colorado. And then Saturday before the thing, their house is filled with a purple haze as they're waiting on the Lord for inspiration for their message. The Bible says Jesus sweat great drops of blood in Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, if you actually study the scripture, you read the blood actually came out. That's how much agony. They say that when people bleed, when they bleed blood or blood comes out of them, just from agony, that means they're under the most torment that you can ever imagine. And there have been cases of that where people have been under the worst kind of stress and blood starts coming out, which I don't even understand that level of anxiety or concern. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. In Matthew 26:36-46, then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, sit here while I go pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowfully and very heavy. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here, watch with me. In other words, pray with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, why did he do that? Because for the first time in eternity past, Jesus was going to be cut off from his Father. For the first time ever. That's why he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In actual fact, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, God pulled the lights on the planet and everything went dark because he couldn't even look at his son. Because Jesus, he who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us. That means he took upon himself the sin of the whole world. Every sin that had ever been committed, every sin that would ever be committed, he took upon himself at one time. He carried your sin, he carried my sin. I've shared this before, the premiere of the movie in Atlanta of The Passion of the Christ, and there the place, the theater was full. And of course, they were saying it was anti-Semitic and whatever. Well, I mean, fortunately, they said that because that movie went to Turkey, and all the Muslims were watching that. People were coming out of theaters weeping. They never knew that Jesus had paid the price for them. And so that movie actually, because they tried to call it anti-Semitic, it actually ended up in getting many people saved, you know. But anyway, so as I was watching him being bruised and battered and torn for me, I jumped up in the theater. Now, yeah, I am a minister. You know, we've got a bunch of preachers there and everything. I jumped up in the theater and go, it was me. It was me. I did it. I put him there. You know, I did it. It was my sin that put him there. And I was crying, making a noise in the theater. So when the end of the movie, when the credits rolled, I ran down front. And I just begin to shout, you've just watched the Savior of the world, what he's done for us. If you'd like to accept him today. And I told our guys, keep security away from me. And so they were blocking security. And I'm leading everyone in a prayer of salvation in the theater in Atlanta. Dear Jesus, come into my heart by now. Forgive me of my sin. And I had to shout above the noise of the music, you know, when it plays at the end of the theater. And then I could see them blocking security. And then somebody said, what did you do? I went out the side, the exit doors, out into some alley somewhere. I didn't know where I was, but security couldn't touch me. You can't touch this. Anyway, so, but... So when you understand, you have to identify with that. This can't be something distant that he died there and he died for other people. No, he died for me. It was his blood that was shed for me. I received that. I identify with it was my sin that put him there. Therefore, it's my sin that can be washed away. Can you say amen? So here he is praying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he come to his disciples, found them asleep, and said, could you not even pray with me for 1 hour? And watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away a second time, prayed, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he came and found them sleeping again. And then he prayed for the third time. And then he said, basically, sleep on, take your rest, and the hour's at hand, the Son of Man to be betrayed in the hands of sinners. And then, which I still don't understand that, sleep on, and then he said, rise, let us be going. So it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to sleep or do you want me to get up, you know? Because I'm going to ask him what was going on there, you know. Sleep on. Okay, get up. But none of us have resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Which the book of Hebrews 12 and 3 says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And he did it for us. His blood flowed from his head to our head so we could have peace of mind. I want you to take your hand like and put it on your head right now. And just thank him right now for the blood that flowed from his head to your head. Just take a moment and thank him. Secondly, the blood flowed from his hands to our hands. When you think about it, what did he do that for? To give us authority. The first thing he did when he appeared to his disciples was he showed them his hands, his feet, and his side. In John 20 and verse 20, and when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples, they were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, even so now I send you. Basically, because of my hands, I'm now giving you the authority to go and do. Isn't this awesome? And when he said them, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost. That's when they got saved, right there. Because we know that they got baptized in the Holy Ghost when they went into the upper room. But this was the moment that they were saved. They were converted. And their lives were changed. He says, whosoever sins you remit, they will be remitted. Whoever sins you retain, they are retained. In other words, your sins are forgiven you, which religion does not think that we have that ability to do that, but we have the ability to actually tell people, your sins are forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven you. Think about that. That's the power of the gospel. Isn't that awesome? How many excited about that? But Thomas, bless Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus was not with them when Jesus came. And the disciples came, therefore, and said, we've seen the Lord. But he said, except I see the hand, that the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. So guess what? When we all get to the other side, you'll see Jesus, and you'll be able to see the prints of where the nails went in, of his hands and his feet and his side. And basically for all eternity, we'll know him as the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world for us. Amen. Somebody said, how will I know it's Jesus? You'll know him by the nail-scarred hands. You'll know him by the nail-scarred hands. So after 8 days, again, the disciples were within in the house, and Thomas came, the doors being shut, and Jesus stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger and behold my hands. Reach your hand, thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. In Luke 24, 36 to 40, and as he spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said, why are you troubled and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that is I, myself, handle me and see. For spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet. Now, why did he give us this authority? So that we could go and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the power of the blood of Jesus that flowed from Jesus' hands to your hands, you have authority to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. Mark 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he received up into heaven, set at the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. In other words, he's saying, you go in my name, you take your hands, you put them on the sick, and as you put your hands on the sick, it'll be as though I put my hands on the sick. Because we are his body. We are his hands and we are his feet. And he wants to use every single person. Number three, the blood that flowed from his side to our side. Now, this river of blood that flowed from his side to our side brings forgiveness. His side was pierced. In John 19, 31 to 37, the Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that the legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified. But they came to Jesus and they saw that he was dead already. They brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith is true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Blood and water signify two great benefits which all believers partake through Christ. The blood represents justification, remission, and atonement, and water represents regeneration, purification, and sanctification. And so that's what flowed from his side to us. So that blood and water that separates us, that you washed, that you cleansed, you separated, you sanctified, you put it, you set apart, holy. You can't do anything to do this. It's impossible. You can't earn it. You can't make yourself better. You can't go educate yourself. It's all by faith and through grace. Can you say amen? Aren't you excited about that? That's why we must be quick to forgive others. Because how many want the Lord to forgive you? Then you should be quick to forgive. Well, I'd like to forgive, but I'll tell you, some people need to pay for their sin. Well, that is true, but Jesus already paid for the sin. Are you with me? And in order to receive that, we have to repent of our sin. Repent is not sorry we got caught. Repent is to say, I'm going this way. I realize the error of my way. I stop what I'm doing. I don't want to do this anymore. I turn my back and I leave it behind and I go another way. That's what repent really means. Can you say amen? Repent is not you go back, you do it, you come and say, sorry, I'm so sorry. I go do it. Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. You go do it. I'm so sorry, I'm sorry. And that's why I really believe some people need to get delivered. You know, they get saved, but they're not delivered. They're carrying passages. You say, what's that, Pastor? Devils. They need a devil cast out of them. You know? Yeah. The devil's got control of their life, you know. So some of these people are looking at me like, oh, he's going to do it now. No, God was... The boy's like nervous now. Oh, no, he saw a devil. No, I'm not. I'm just talking in generality. Just relax. We're not going to have an exorcism on television yet. I'm not going to come with a big cross and hold it out and you do a whole thing here. But people need to get delivered. So you mean people actually have devils? What do you think? But you mean a Christian? Look, somebody said, well, yeah, but a Christian can't be demon-possessed. No, they're not possessed, but some are very oppressed. Are you with me? So come stand here if you would, Pastor. Okay, so imagine now he's serving the Lord. So I'm a devil, and I'm doing this to him the whole time. What's that? Huh? No, it's oppression. I'm tormenting him the whole time. There's Christians that are under the oppression of the enemy. Are you with me? People have to be set free. There's no doubt there are devils that are dogging people's tracks, trying to take them out. That's why the Bible says don't give place to the devil. Don't open the door for him to even come. There are people that are so tormented that it's almost like they are possessed because that thing takes over every area of their life. Ruins their home, ruins their marriage, ruins everything. Ruins everything. Trust me, I know of preachers that have a few. Okay, we'll change the subject now. I'm moving right along here. Listen. No, I was talking to Dr. T.L. Osborne, and he was talking about a pastor. And he said, listen, when you meet that pastor, he said, you're going to meet one of five people. T.L. Osborne said to me, he said, you'll meet one of five people. And you just have to decide which one it is that day that you're meeting so you know how to communicate with them. One of five people. It could be the pastor, the benevolent. The pastor, the author, you know. Anyway. Authoritarian. The legalist. You don't know who you're meeting. You know, can we just have you? Would be great. Can we just meet with you, or are we going to bring your passengers with you? It's just like the truth. Can we just meet with you? Can leave the passengers at home. Don't bring them with you. Know. It's getting quiet now. Everybody's like looking at me, Pastor, come on, change the subject now. But it's the truth. You know it is the truth. How many have met with people? They're always under unrest. It's like a total unrest about them. There's no peace. They have no peace. You shouldn't be in a place of unrest. You should be a person of peace. People should come around you and feel energized and encouraged and fired up and not drained and, oh, I need to go take a shower. Oh, my God. What's wrong? I met so-and-so. I tell you what, they're just like wore me out. People come around, there's a giant sucking sound, you know, like a vacuum cleaner. And just drain everything. I mean, if you had the energy to go do something, it was gone. And I need to find a building to jump off. You know, that's the kind of impact that they have on you. Everybody's trying to act all nice, like you don't know people like this. That, you know, I just saw a lady looked at me and she says, "I'm married to one like that." Well, we need to get him delivered, lady. We need to get him delivered. Forgive others. Can you forgive others? Come on, I'm talking to you. Can you forgive others? Do you want them to pay for their wickedness? Can you forgive others? Yes. This is huge. Because as people of God, we want God's forgiveness, but we won't forgive others. We won't forgive others. Well, I'll tell you what they've done is just terrible. That's fine. What you've done is terrible as well. Just nobody knows about what you've done. Huh? Come on. If your life could be displayed on a screen, would you gladly come and plug in here this morning? He who has a clear slate, plug in. Huh? Come on. So, I mean, I hear people always criticize preachers that have blown it and whatever and stuff. I said, look, have you blown it? Yes. Well, guess what? Just nobody knew that you blew it. But you're just the same. So what's your story?
That's right.
You're coming now holier than thou, better than everybody else. Forgive. All have sinned and come short of the glory. All. Yeah, well, my sin wasn't as big as his sin. There, sin is sin. Sin is sin. Well, Pastor, I don't really lie. I just exaggerate. It's still a lie. It's still a lie. Don't walk around here like your poop don't stink. Come on. Don't walk around like your poop don't stink. You know, years ago when I was back in Africa, I started the ministry in 1980. I think I was about 1982. I'd come off the road. And I was asked to drive a top American evangelist preacher around. The pastor said, would you look after him for the week and drive him to him from the hotel? I said, sure. And I had a rude awakening because he was a powerful minister, man, miracles and signs and wonders and whatever. And I went to the hotel to go pick him up. And so I went upstairs, knocked on the door, and he opened the door. And he grabbed his briefcase and handed it to me. And as the door opened, obviously he had just been in the restroom, I got a full brunt of what was in there. And I promise you, I was like shocked. I thought, the guy has such an anointing. That was foul. That was the worst thing I ever smelled. And so I drove him. I was like quiet. He asked me, why are you quiet? I said, no, just take it. But I got to the meeting. I was watching him preach. I thought, man. But I felt better because I knew what I delivered, you know. So... Hey, no, but people have that attitude. No, come on. People have that attitude that they're better than everybody else, when really the only thing that comes to settle anything is the blood of Jesus that comes to wash us clean. It took me several services just to receive again from his ministry, you know. All right, then the blood that flowed from his feet to our feet, this river of blood that flowed from his feet to our feet, causing us to walk a new path, a new way, a new way. We've got new shoes. I got new shoes, a new path. We make straight paths for our feet. Every place on which the sole of your foot shall tread is given unto you. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then the Bible talks about beautiful feet. You have beautiful feet. Somebody said, I don't like my feet. I don't like my toes. I don't like my feet. They're beautiful feet. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have beautiful feet. Now listen. So he said, we'll have to watch out for lawsuits here, you know. People got assaulted in church. So they told me my feet were beautiful. But you have beautiful feet, and the fact that everything is under your feet. Because Ephesians 1 and 19 says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the work of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So if we seated with Christ and all things under his feet, then all things are under your feet. And then Joshua 1:3, every place the sole of your foot shall tread. So you walk in there. When you walk in the room, when you walk in the place, when you walk in the place, when you walk in the place, something is going to happen. There's going to be a surge taking place. Shaka prakasto frondole bestia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From his head to your head. From his hands to your head. From his hands to your hands. From his side to your side. From his feet to your feet. Carry yourself accordingly. Come on. Lift up the hands that hang down. Come on, stand up. Lift up your head. You know the testimony of the dear lady that testified, and she said she didn't even know that she was worthy, and she struggled with that, was because people don't understand that there's no amount of work that you and I can do that could even make us worthy. There's none of it. But that by the blood of Jesus. We can't earn any of this. It's all free. And then number five, the blood that flowed from his back to our back. So why did this blood flow? For your healing. For your healing. By his stripes you were healed. Isaiah 53:1-5. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire of him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. By the blood, by the broken body of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:21, for even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judged righteously. Who his own self bound sins in his own body in the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live in the righteousness. By whose stripes ye were healed. For we were as sheep gone astray, but now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And then Matthew 8:17, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took infirmities and bare our sicknesses. This is it today. This is a one-stop shop right here with this message. For everything for your life. Everything that's lacking. Because obviously, I mean, his lips must have been busted open and bleeding. So from his lips to my lips so that he could anoint my tongue to speak his word, you know. I mean, we can go on with this thing, you know. I just didn't have enough time to run through the whole anatomy in many inches, if you understand what I'm saying. But you think about it. That when we identify with Christ, we identify. You know, I heard this, and this took place in the UK, a gathering of ministers. And an American minister flew out who handles, how can I say, if we would call it like a rebranding of, you know, and handles, I don't even know what it is, because I never use these people, but they do all these kind of things. They come in and they give advice, and they run around and help ministers restructure and rebrand and whatever, you know. People pay them money to do that. And these people like students of ministry, so they go around and tweak their ministry and whatever, you know, which I just want to introduce people to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will tweak anything, you know, tweak the whole thing. And so, and he got up and he told him, he said, listen, we're in the 21st century. He said, you need to change the way you speak when you talk to people. You cannot use the word blood. So, yeah, he said, you can't use the word blood anymore when it talks about Calvary and the cross and the blood. You can't use the word blood. It's going to put people off. But that's not even true. If you look at Hollywood puts out many movies full of blood. Every movie they put out has blood. Are you with me? We're coming up at the time when there'll be Halloween. And the horror movies that'll be on television back to back. From Friday the 13th to Chainsaw Massacre 742, you know. You know. No, every kind of horror movie, blood everywhere. So what do you mean it's going to offend people? What do you mean the blood is going to offend people? The blood, it's the blood that redeems people. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And thank God that he didn't leave us under an old covenant by the blood of bulls and goats, that we would have to go sacrifice something here today. Thank God that the Lamb was slain for us so that we could be free, that all we have to do is come and all we have to do is humble ourselves and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. I couldn't even earn it. I can't even buy it. I don't have any money to buy it. This is the priceless, precious blood of Jesus. But I come humbly, even as that old song says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. That blood. So this river is fresh today, as when it first flowed from Calvary. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So his blood washes us clean. His blood seals us until the day of redemption. The blood keeps us pure and keeps us holy, and the blood protects us so that no harm or evil, no devil can prevail against you. I don't care what the enemy's planning against your life, even this next week. It cannot happen. It will come to nothing. Whether you drive by car, you go by plane, you go by boat, you go by train, the hand of God shall sustain you, and the Lord shall protect you. No harm and evil will come nigh to you. It's the blood that causes peace of mind. It's the blood that delivers us. It's the blood that breaks every yoke, destroys every yoke, destroys every chain. It's the blood that purchases our freedom. It's the blood that's caused our provision to come. It's the blood that has made way for our protection. Thank God for the blood, the river that flowed from Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the thing about this blood is this blood shows no partiality. It's totally impartial. The blood doesn't look on race, on money, on education. The blood is for people. And it's for every person. Whosoever will, they can come and receive. Isn't that awesome? And it's free. Isn't that awesome? Makes me want to run around the building 3 times today. I tell you, people better hold me back. I'm about to jump over a couple of pews here. I'm about to jump over a few pews, run down a couple of aisles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where would I be if he hadn't found me? If Jesus hadn't found me, I could have been a pastor of a religious church. I could have been part of some dead denomination, changing frocks, lighting candles. I could have been praying to saints and, you know, bowing down to only God knows what. Thank God for the blood that flowed from Calvary. And that blood's for every single person. Every single person. I want you to bow your heads, if you would, please. Please let only the workers move at this time. It's imperative. While the heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're in this place today, you fit in any one of these 3 categories, I want to pray with you and for you. If you're watching by way of television, I want to give you an opportunity today to surrender your life to him. The fact of the matter is today, and I realize this more than ever, having been doing this for quite a number of years now, in the fourth, coming up to the end of the 4th decade of preaching this gospel, that even this very day, someone here, their life could be required of them. Even for those watching by way of television, you could put your head on your pillow and tonight, in the middle of the night, breathe your last breath. And then I want to ask you, where will you spend eternity? That's why we want to give you this opportunity today to surrender your life to Jesus, to say, Lord, I come to you. I humble myself and I surrender my life to you. I want you to know that he loves you. He stands with the arms right open. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He calls you. Will you surrender to him today? Will you say, Jesus, come and be my Lord? He will never force himself on you. He only comes where he's wanted. You cannot earn this. You can't buy it. You can't go make yourself better to be in a better position to even receive it. You just have to humble yourself and say, Lord, here I am, and I come to you. He loves you, and that's why he came and died and shed his blood. If you're in this place and you have never given your life to Jesus, I want to give you this opportunity today to surrender your life to him, to say, Jesus, come, be my Lord and Savior. If you mean busy with God, God means busy with you. Will you do that today? Secondly, maybe you've come to this place. You gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. There was a time when you were radically on fire, but you allowed the things of the world to come and you lost that first love, that joy, that peace that you once had. There was a time that you were at peace, but somehow you allowed the things of the world to come in and you lost that passion, that first love. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back today. I'm going to surrender afresh to him today. Maybe something hidden that no one knows. The hidden things of the heart, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, the hidden things that clog the heart of man. But today you say, I want to be free. Surrender to him today. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's something outward that everyone can see. And the enemy knows about that, and the devil uses it against you to keep you in a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened in your life. But I want you to know the devil's a lion. God's a God of a second chance, and God's a God of a new beginning. Will you surrender to him afresh today and say, Lord, I come? Maybe it's not hidden or outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life. You were going along, you were doing great, and then out of the blue, this thing hit you like a Mack truck from hell. A sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. It like knocked your breath away. If you've ever had the wind knocked out of you, it happens spiritually that way. I meet pastors of great ministries and churches and people. So I was going along and this thing came out of the blue and slammed me up the side of the head. And I haven't even been able to pray. I don't even know how to read the word. I don't even know how I can get back. But he said, I will come. I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Will you let him come and do that today? It's about surrender. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation. The devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you say, you know what? I'm going to get rid of the doubt. Today, I'm going to know that I know that I know I'm a child of God. If this is you, right where you are, without any hesitation whatsoever, quickly put your hand up. I want to pray with you and for you right now. Thank you. God bless 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 you. Under the overhang. God bless you. 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 Right at the back by the sound desk. God bless you. God bless you. Raise up high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, 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 yes. Come on. Hands are going up all across you. Under the other overhang on the other side. And then this right here in this section. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands are going up. Today is your day of freedom and liberty. Today, this blood that flows for you. You can put your hands down. I want you to look at me now, please. Look at me, please. In this section here, if you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be included in the prayer I'm going to pray right now for these invitations, quickly put your hand up right now and say, include me. God bless you. Anybody else? Another hand right at the back. Anybody else? Another hand over there. Anyone else? Anyone else? This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Put your hand up right now. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Another hand, another hand. Anyone else? Quickly raise up high. Anybody else? This section here, slip it up high. Thank you. Anybody else? Right under the overhang. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Uh-huh. This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included. Put your hand up high and say, include me. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. I want every person that raised your hand, I want you to stand, please. All across this room, just stand. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. Stand right now. Stand. All across the building. All under the overhang. On both sides. All the way on this side of the sanctuary. Stand. Now we're going to pray together. I want you to come. Bring your personal belongings and come stand around the altar. Come, brother. It's going to be okay. Come. We're going to pray together. Come. 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 Come, let's pray. Come. Yeah. Come, let's pray. Come. Today is your day of freedom. Today is your day of liberty. Come. He calls you. 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 No turning back. No turning back. Friend, come now. Come now. He calls you. 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 Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day. No turning back.
No turning back.
Now, I want to encourage all of the houses of joy. We have, 135 now across the whole region. Our whole thing is that the houses are going to be multiplying. It's that God's going to give you people in your neighborhood that you're going to be praying over and that you'll be bringing to church. It could be a whole family. It could be one person. But you can imagine if 135 houses do that every week, we're always going to see people saved here at the altar. Just so you know, I mean, I travel, I go to churches where people don't even give altar calls. And if we don't give a call on Sunday morning, we might as well shut the place down. Because we're launching people all the time. So I'm always looking for new people that I can get them saved, put the fire of God on them, because you don't even know who's standing here. This could be somebody that goes and shakes a whole nation. You have no clue. You don't know. You don't know. How do you know if the next door neighbor to your house could be a pastor of a great church in 5 years from now? You don't know. And the fact that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. So let me say this to all the HOJs. Come on, be in prayer. Let this be your priority. To say, Lord, give me somebody, give us as a house, give us somebody that we can take and bring. Because then they come to the altar, then you already know where they live, because they live right, you invited them, and then you can follow them up and disciple them. Come on, it's time to make disciples like never before. But you can't, we don't want people from other churches. We don't want people from other churches. That's not making disciples. They're already disciples. We want people that no one has. Is that good?
Yes. Amen.
Say this off of me. We don't want people from other churches. We want people that have no church.
No church.
Amen.
Amen.
And then we don't have to unteach them. We don't have to unlearn them. We don't have to deprogram them. You can't do much with people that are already discipled some other way. Can't do anything with them because they know everything. Because the person, we get somebody from another church. What are they going to do when their church is only 1 hour long? Then they come to the river. And what are we, 3 hours and 15 minutes already in Sunday morning service? They'll go, oh my God, doesn't he know when to stop? No. No, it's called the main event because it's the main event. This is it. This is Sunday morning at the river. What would you want me to cut out? Well, you could have cut the worship down. Okay, so we cut the worship down. Then you could have left out the testimonies. All right, leave out the testimonies. Then you should have just said, pass the plates. All righty then. I want everybody standing, I want you to look at me. And as I said earlier, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. And I want you to know how much He loves you today, that this is a very special moment. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth right now. Pray this out loud. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith in the finished work of the cross and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. Thank you, Lord, for saving me now. Now lift both hands and just thank him right now. Just thank him right now. Now, Father, I pray that you would seal them now by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day when we stand before you, let not one of these precious people be missing. Let not one of these people be missing. We put them in the hands of the Holy Spirit to protect them, to guide them, to lead them. And that on that day they will hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I thank you for it. And I give you praise. In Jesus' name. Now look at me, if you would, please. As a servant of the Most High God, by the power of the blood of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of the Word of God, by the awesome power of the Holy Spirit, I tell every single one of you right now, your sins are forgiven you. Right now. Forgiven. You're forgiven. You're forgiven.
Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like and get the word out so others can watch.